The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A whopper of a Wednesday edition, Dom. It's debatey party eve up in here.
Happy hump day, Crudy debate eve. Certainly exciting. Lots going on today. Thank you to our fair audience, 844-967-2789. Rich hitting all the buttons on the board. Thank you, sir, as well.
Dominic, New Marquette University Law School polling. Oh. You know how excited I get about these snapshots in history.
You're such a nerd.
Here's the top line. It's very, very close.
Oh, shocking. It's close. It's going to be close.
Between Biden and Trump, we have a well-booked show. You're welcome. Of course, when there's new Marquette University Law School polling, got to have the pollster extraordinaire, Charles Franklin. He'll go inside the numbers in the 5 o'clock happy hour. And old friend Bill Press, he's coming back in the happy hour as well. And Joel Walsh, my Republican buddy, we introduced you, but I understand you're going to trash talk him right out of the gate because he doesn't Twitter follow you.
I sent him a message saying, hey, man, you said you're going to follow us on Twitter, so get on that. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, Joel Walsh coming at 4 o'clock. Going to be a fun day today.
He ran for president against Donald Trump. I think he can handle you on Twitter, but we'll see.
You will see.
Tom, here's the real question. Here's the lead in the great state of Wisconsin. Who's the leaker and why? And what the hell's Crudy talking about?
Crudy, breaking news, Wisconsin Watch. This one came up right before the show. I saw this one flagged out there. Jack Kelly reporting at Wisconsin Watch. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear a lawsuit filed by Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin that asks the court to declare that access to abortion is a right protected by the state constitution, according to a draft order obtained by Wisconsin Watch.
What?
The draft order also indicates that the court has decided to deny an effort from a coalition of anti-abortion groups, Wisconsin Right to Life, Wisconsin Family Action, and Pro-Life Wisconsin, to intervene in the case, but will allow them to file a brief opposing the lawsuit. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler told Wisconsin Watch, quote, "This is not a public order. I am not in a position to release any further information." The court's other six justices did not reply to questions from Wisconsin Watch about the draft order. Uh-oh. What's going on here, Crudy?
What sort of a ship is she running over there, Ziegler, the Chief Justice? I mean, we've got a leak. Is it Alito again?
It can't possibly. Wrong Supreme Court. Jack Kelly continues. The case offers the court's four-member liberal majority the chance to issue a potentially broad ruling that could include sweeping protections for access to abortion. Now, the draft order obtained by Wisconsin Watch does not include any concurring or dissenting opinions, leaving it unclear which justices voted for or against accepting the case. Or arguments in the case likely won't happen until after the court's next term starts in the fall.
Why would this be shocking whatsoever, except the leaking aspect? This is not shocking.
Who would leak it and why?
Well, it's got to be a righty, because right? The lefties, why? As far as this court goes, the lefties control the court. They can make this decision. There's no harm in making this decision, taking direct original jurisdiction on this case, right? So if they wanted to do it, you know, there's no hurry to go tell the public. Unless you're an outraged righty and, you know, you want people to know they're not accepting Wisconsin right to life's attempt to join in this lawsuit. You know, you got to let the right know how to go and drumbeat this properly on right-wing talk radio.
Well, those that were denied the intervention in the case, although we'll be allowed to file a brief opposing the lawsuit, but someone there, you think that's the motivation on the right? To let everyone know this liberal court is denying their opportunity to intervene in the Planned Parenthood case.
Well, apparently, what would motivate the left, any of the justices or their staff? Because presumably, it wasn't one of the justices directly, was it, Ziegler? Question mark. Bad Bradley, was it? So one must assume it was the staff. So somebody's staffer, probably an important staffer, with or without the boss's consent, leaked this out to Wisconsin Watch. And I'm not sure, have we verified that Wisconsin Watch doesn't have a political bent to it? Like, are we sure that this isn't a conservative outlet? And, you know, I appreciate the fact that they are breaking the news, but this is not one of my go-tos, Dom. And I just want to clarify, because, you know, if it is, one must wonder who wanted it in Wisconsin Watch. But either way, it's out there. And it was a righty, I assert.
According to Wisconsin Watch, the About Us, they are a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative news outlet. We increase the quality and quantity of investigative reporting in Wisconsin while training current and future investigative journalists. Our work fosters an informed citizenry and strengthens democracy. Currently have reporters in Madison, Milwaukee, and Oshkosh, have other members of our robust editorial and business teams located across the state. We collaborate and share content with mainstream and niche media across Wisconsin and the nation. 501c3. And a founding member of the Institute for Nonprofit News, and so on and so forth. Now, these guys are on my radar. They're one of my 35, 36, whatever, sites that I regularly go to. So my impression is that they're pretty down the middle, but I guess I haven't thought much beyond my impression.
Checking out their board of directors right now. That can be a tell as well. I'm not real clear. But anyways, my only point would be is if they are a advocating news source, let's say, as we occasionally do here, we have a point of view. Well, it'd be good to know who leaked it to them. Like, how did they get their hands on this? Obviously, they got a source in one of these offices. Someone wanted this out there. And I haven't seen this broadly reported, Dom. This apparently a scoop. And we've shared it with you.
I would say this, Crudy, the State House reporter at Wisconsin Watch, Jack Kelly. Now, he's the one who released this. He covers the legislature and Wisconsin Supreme Court, obviously. He's worked in the past at the Cap Times, if that tells you.
Oh, at the Cap Times. Well, presumably, he's not a... Although Blaska writes an occasional column for the Cap Times, does he not? You know, they'll accept anyone, apparently, Dom. But I would presume there's probably a left lean, or at least a straight journalistic lean, on Mr. Kelly's work. So perhaps not an advocating source. They didn't go run to Right Wisconsin or Widgerson's outfit or whatever it's called. But anyways, Dom, my assertion... It only makes sense that the right leaked this. They're trying to activate the base. They're trying to gin up some opposition. They're trying to fundraise. They're trying to get the foot soldiers out. Left doesn't need to. They got the majority.
Jesse Poyen also, and now she is a journalist over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I think also formerly with the Cap Times.
She was.
She retweeted this today when she retweeted Jack Kelly's article that Chief Justice Ziegler says she's asked law enforcement to investigate the leak and all seven justices condemn the breach. Quote, today, Jesse said this from, attributed this to Chief Justice Annette Ziegler. Quote, today, the entire court was shocked, Crudy, to learn that a confidential draft document was ostensibly leaked to the press. I've contacted law enforcement to request a full investigation be conducted. We are all united behind this investigation to identify the source of the apparent leak. The seven of us condemn this breach. Jesse tweeted out today as well.
Well, at least 6.5 of you do. there might be a guilty party on the court, Dom. I mean, and remember when the Dobbs draft came out, and we had lots of speculation. It only made sense to me that that was Alito, but Alito wrote the opinion for the court, and it, of course, reversed abortion. But there was a question of whether or not this 5-4 vote, whether or not you wanted to block in all your votes, you know, keep the pressure on, not let anyone off the hook. And it was quite interesting to me that the U.S. Supreme Court justices did not testify, did not give any testimony under oath as to whether or not they leaked the document. And I heard people.
Really not much of an investigation if, like, you know, some of the main players have no comment.
Well, that seems quite true, Dom. And Maggie Dawn, a friend of ours, she's going to be on the fine panel tomorrow night with us at the Barrymore Theater. Did I mention big party tomorrow night? It's debate night. And also panel discussion night. Maggie Dawn will be a part. But she clerked with a federal judge. And she told me, there's no freaking way that someone went rogue. It's too prestigious a job. It's a stepping stone to something in their future. No one's going to wreck their whole career without the boss's consent. Know what I mean? Somebody's clerk did so with permission, perhaps with a good swift kick from the boss. Hey, go let this one out. And I've always suspected it was you, Fredo. I knew it the whole time. Folks, we're at the Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. It's going to be a big show today. We've got a fine guest list. Joe Walsh at 4. Bill Press at 5. Charles Franklin, New Market University Law School polling. Maybe we'll do a little digging on that. He's coming at 5:30, going inside the numbers. And you could be a part. This whole big whopper of a Wednesday show at 844-967-2789. And did we mention, big event at the Barrymore Theater tomorrow night. Debate. Party. You're going to be there.
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocate.
The radio. So happy hump day to us all. Big debate starting tomorrow, but you can join us today on the lines 844-967-2789. Joe Walsh at 4, Bill Press at 5 p.m. Charles Franklin are going to go behind the numbers. The Marquette University Law School poll dropped today.
Here's a couple of interesting tidbits. Crudy's takeaways. Favorable, unfavorable ratings. And they've looked at a few prominent state politicians. Tony Evers, he's a net positive. Ron Johnson, less so. Rojo, a bit underwater in this poll. What is it here? Rojo, minus 12. 38 favorable, 50 unfavorable. But Robin Voss, Dom.
Oh, man, that's not great. He has a favorable rating, Crudy, of 14?
And an unfavorable
35.
So a lot of people don't know who the hell he is. About apparently, half the population. Come
on, man. The guy's only the most powerful, longest-serving Wisconsin Assembly member ever. We don't know who
Speaker.
Robin is.
Speaker.
Speaker, thank you.
Well,
Speaker.
To know him, to not like him, Dom.
Apparently by, what? 14%. If you know Robin Voss, 14 out of 100 of you like him.
Tony Evers, 51% favorable, 43% unfavorable. Yeah, plus eight. So the top line, though, the presidential horse race. And, you know, we're still how many months out, Dom?
A few.
But four, a little over four. 4 months out. So this snapshot is getting a little clearer, a little more in focus. And it's still a dead heat between Biden and Trump here in the state of Wisconsin. And this is one of the handfuls of states nationwide that even matter. No offense to California, no offense to Oklahoma, a lot of states don't matter. Electorally, they're already in a column. They're already red or blue.
California's not going for Trump. Not going to happen.
I want California if it weren't for all the illegals voting.
Not gonna. So you take the electoral votes there, throw them in a slot. And there's lots of states like that. They're going to go red. They're going to go blue. That's just how it is. You know, there's not going to be a whole lot of shock there, probably. So it's down to the swing states then, and Wisconsin being one of the most important swing states because, you know, I live here. And Joe Biden, according to the Marquette University Law School poll, leading Donald Trump 51-49, although within the 4%+ margin of error.
Dom, you know who else is leading right now? The unbeatable Tammy Baldwin. And I'm not saying someone could beat her. Someone, perhaps, on this planet could beat her. But it's not going to be Laguna Beach millionaire Eric Hovde.
Why not? Apparently, he wants more debates, Crudy. Remember we talked about the other day, Tammy Baldwin and Hovde are going to have a debate sometime in October. I saw some headlines that Eric would like to have more. I want more debates.
Well, I would encourage more than one Friday night up against high school football in October. Yes. That doesn't seem sufficient. Dom, I do have a little news on Mr. Hovde.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. With Dems bringing to our attention, you know, this guy has not shown himself to be a stellar candidate. And there's more sticking his foot in his mouth. Perhaps, maybe heartfelt. What they're saying. Eric Hovde says he's familiar with black culture because he visited Africa and he runs homeless shelters. Dateline Madison yesterday, the Washington Post reported on comments from Eric Hovde made about the black community during an interview with the Truth Radio, Dom. Hurts me to say the frequency I helped build that one.
I vaguely remember that one.
Now, he went on the Truth on Juneteenth, Dom. I mean, that's playing it bold. Hovde suggested he understands black culture because he spent time in Africa and runs homeless shelters for abandoned kids there. These comments come as Hovde faces increasing scrutiny for repeatedly insulting Wisconsinites, including Hovde blaming single mothers for societal problems and other racist stereotypes that...
What? I thought it was the rock and roll and Elvis shaking the hips, but apparently not.
And other using racist stereotypes that demonize black women. Now, I would point out, the Truth is black talk radio, is it not? That's what it's supposed to be. NOV and The Truth are the two black talk outlets in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Candidate Hovde going big, going on The Truth on Juneteenth. Now, I have invited the candidate on this fine program a couple times. We know his guy, Ben. What's up, Ben? I know you're listening, Ben. Anyways, another day, another example of Eric Hovde insulting the people of Wisconsin, according to Eric Volk, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Rapid Response Director. We'll have DPW Chair Ben Wickler on the big pre-debate show tomorrow about 4:30, Dom. A little bit more. Republican Eric Hovde, who is running for Senate in Wisconsin, said he's familiar with black culture because he spent a lot of time in Africa and because he runs homeless shelters for the abandoned kids. So host Ben Hooks asked Hovde if there's anything he's going to take away from this. You didn't know about black culture before that. You know of today. And that was his response. Look, I've spent a lot of time in black culture. I've spent a lot of time in places like Africa because I have homeless shelters for abandoned kids and rescuing kids out of the streets. And I've been involved in schooling and charter schools and things of that nature. You know, Dom, things of that nature. During the interview, Hovde noted that that was the first time he participated in a Juneteenth celebration and acknowledged he didn't know much about the holiday, which has come to symbolize the end of slavery in the United States, until about a decade ago. I would point out, in Milwaukee, The Truth is based in Milwaukee, the talk radio outlet that he went on Juneteenth. Milwaukee's been running Juneteenth celebrations for like 50 years straight. I think like Milwaukee and Galveston, Texas are like the two U.S. cities that always celebrate Juneteenth. Maybe if Hudvey lived in Wisconsin, he'd know that. Maybe he does know that because, you know, he visited Africa quite a bit, Dom, and he's got a homeless shelter for kids. You know, he's good with the homeless kids in Africa. Folks, where the
devil's? He's trailing Tammy Baldwin, by the way.
Oh, that's a shocker. It's rig pull. Hudvey's got to be up by dozens, I would guess. Or not. More Devil's Advocates. Join us, 844-967-2789.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. It is debate eve, party eve, although this is always a political party done properly, and you can play a part. 844-967-2789. One more thought from Eric Hudvey. He pledged he would return for future Juneteenth, Tom, because I like to party. I like dancing. I like food. He seems like a real partier, this guy.
I like to party. I like dancing. I like food, too. And I like celebrating freedom with all of our friends.
Tomorrow,
the Marquette University Law School poll.
No, let me self-promote for just a moment longer, because we're pivoting off the party to tomorrow night's party. Just in case you're unaware, tomorrow night, a big party. Dobbs coming to town. It must be a big party at the Barrymore Theater. It kicks off at 7 o'clock. I've got news to announce about the party, Dom. We're going to start with the musical stylings of Tom Castle. Our buddy Tom is going to play some tunes, and then we're doing a panel discussion, if you hadn't heard, not just the Devils, not just Maggie Dawn, but also Pollster Extraordinaire. Come out and meet Charles Franklin. He'll be on the air with us at 5:30 today, and he'll be on the panel tomorrow giving us insights. So come on down. It's free. Bring some cash for the bar, or at least bring your cash card, and get some cash, because beer costs cash. And otherwise, have a great time. The debate will play at 8, and commiserating. Fun to be had by all. You're welcome. Come on down. Have a good time. Now, please continue, Dem. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm so rude.
The Marquette University Law School poll and Charles Franklin going to be our guest at 5:30. So you only have a couple more hours. Stick around. You have your assignment. We have commandments, Crudy. You must listen to the Devil's Advocates 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday.
That's number one on the 15 commandments.
If you listen
list
on the weekend. But here's the final numbers, at least regarding this particular poll, with Hovde and Baldwin. Among both registered and likely voters, 52% said they backed Baldwin, while 47% supported Hovde.
Do you remember?
Now that 5-point swing is barely outside of the 4.9% margin of error.
I'd say it's closer to 9 than 5. You know, if the margin, I think it's stretching to a bigger lead.
Right.
Do you remember when your girl Aaliyah Vukmer, Nurse Ratched, as I'd like to call her, and she got crushed by Tammy. She lost
more than
Tammy.
10 points.
Yeah, 10.6, something like that. Tammy beat Tommy Thompson, and people used to think Tommy was unbeatable. Well, he beat Eric Hudvey's ass. Tommy did in the primary, but then Tammy beat Tommy in 2012. And the newest Dom, as you mentioned, Hudvey is pushing for more debates, but there's comments as well. Apparently he thinks Tammy's ducking the voters of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Hey, at least she's in Wisconsin, Eric.
Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican businessman Eric Hudvey don't agree on much anything, including how many debates they should participate in ahead of the November 5th election. Now, remember, Tammy is up in the polls. And if you're up, you don't really need to have lots of debates, yeah, do you?
You don't need to punch down, do you?
The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation announced Monday that the candidates will square off on October 18th. That's 4 months from now, Dom, which will take place on WMTV-TV in Madison and will be televised and broadcast in on the radio throughout the state. I feel quite confident civic media will make some effort to play that. Now, Hudvey, a banking and real estate mogul, I think he does a little porn on the side. At least that's what the mustache would seem to indicate to him. He has also agreed to participate in debates hosted by Milwaukee's WISN-TV and Green Bay's WFRB-TV. And asked whether Baldwin is considering agreeing to other debates, a campaign spokesperson said, Tammy is looking forward to debating Eric Hudvey at the WBA debate, which will air in every media market across the state this fall. Basically, whatever we want to do. Meanwhile, she'll keep doing what she's always done as Wisconsin senator, showing up in red, blue, and purple urban, suburban, and rural communities, listening to working people, and taking their voices to Washington. That according to Andrew Mamo, M-A-M-O. That's a new last name to me, Andrew. I'm sorry. In a statement, Hudvey called on Baldwin to participate in all three proposed debates. Yeah, lots of stuff I asked Dom to do. I'm lucky if I get one out of three yeses.
Yeah, good luck. Hey, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Here's what the Hudvey campaign says, Dom. The people of Wisconsin deserve to hear about the choice they have in the Senate election this fall, and I call on Senator Baldwin to agree to debate across Wisconsin to explain her record as a career politician responsible for higher inflation and open borders. I'm happy to contrast that with my background as a California rich guy. No, as a political outsider who will get things done. Yeah. and who will put Wisconsin ahead of special interest.
Trying to get on the inside for years now.
He is a special interest. You own banks, sir. You are literally a special interest. Now, as mentioned, Dom, Hudvey finished close second to Tommy in 2012, considered running in 18. And here is what's being said now. Senator Baldwin was happy to support the Biden agenda every step of the way in Washington, but now that it led to inflation, open borders, and a drug epidemic in Wisconsin, she's ducking the voters that will ultimately hold her accountable. Tammy's in the state constantly campaigning. She didn't have to mail it in every sixth year. You know what I'm saying? She actually lives here. It's gives her an advantage, let's just say, Eric. But anyways, he continues whining. It is shameful and cowardly, but just the kind of thing to expect from a career politician that is sold out to special interest and is not fit for Wisconsin anymore. Not like your special interest. You are literally the human embodiment of special interest.
Crudy, Baldwin is viewed favorably by 45% of voters, down from 47% in April, unfavorably by 44%, up from 42% in April. 11% have no opinion. So 45, 47. So she's favorable. Her favorability is down by 2, unfavorability up by 2. Hudvey, viewed favorably by 23% of voters, up from 19. So he's plus 4 in the favorability from April. However, he is now viewed unfavorably by 32%, up from 24% in April. So as you get to know Eric, the less you like him. The percentage of voters with no opinion on Hudvey gone down to 44% from 56. So people are recognizing that stash, but the more they see, the less they like, according to the new Marquette polling.
Well, even the great debate he had this week, should he or shouldn't he shave the stash? Done with all the dynamics of, like, watching paint dry.
It's rigged. I'd like to see I want a recount of the vote of whether or not Eric Hubdy should or should not shave his mustache. I want to know who's in charge of counting those votes. I want to know
the mustache.
I want to know who they voted for, who they contributed to. I don't want, you know, rigged election officials determining whether or not Eric Hubdy should keep his mustache. It's rigged, I tell you.
And if he does not relinquish the full analytics to us,
yeah. Yes,
in 15 minutes right or less, he's a complete and utter coward.
Yes, total coward. Loser. But what do you expect from a mustache like that?
Or you could join us on the air. I mean, if you're going to the truth and claiming you know a lot about black culture because you've been to Africa, you know, what's the harm in coming on the Devil's Advocates?
Don't forget the homeless shelters, because apparently that's all the black people, where the black people live, according to Hubdy.
Well, I would not have thought to ask candidate Hubdy, you know, what's your experience with the black culture, but in that it was the truth and it was Juneteenth, seemed appropriate, probably. Sure. You know, he's pandering. I would have asked him, got any hot sauce in your purse?
I do love me some Cholula, man. I'm not lying.
So, Dom, we're going to turn it up a bit. We got a former Republican firebrand joining us at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. And our attention, I think, eventually, Dom, should turn to the big debate. Are you excited? I mean, at least for the party. I know you don't care. You could read the transcripts. I know. Yeah, you've got a history of non-attendance.
Me and Hubdy, man, we like to party. We like to eat, you know.
Dancing.
Dance. You know, I'm just like Eric Hubdy without the mustache. You know, I could probably grow one
by tomorrow. I've seen you.
It does. It is quite a thing. It kind of takes over. I got to tell you, this thing. I really have very little of an upper lip. I get it from my grandfather, my dad. No upper lip, man. Stiff upper lip, perhaps. So it's like all mustache. It's just bleh. It's all mustache. It's a little much. I think it kind of hurts my hips because it alters my gait when I walk.
You and Hudvey both.
You know, will Donald Trump show up? You know,
looks tomorrow? Like tomorrow? Looks like are you still I mean, playing we'll, that we'll angle? See. You we'll gonna see. Get this one absolutely wrong, Dominic?
Until he does, there's a chance that he doesn't.
You know who else is playing that angle?
Who's that?
Steve at the Barrymore Theater. Griefing me. Late last night, I get this email from Steve. What's your plan when Trump doesn't show up? I'm thinking we party rain or shine.
Hey, that's right, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
It's not a fair weather party. It's a Devil's Advocates party.
Party, man. It's a political party. It goes on no matter what. At least that's what we decided. But it was a question. And we'll have that answer tomorrow.
And I suspect Trump at this late hour, if he was going to back out, he would have been backing out instead of building up Joe Biden as a debater. You know, obviously he's trying to cast expectations.
I'm not clear that he would have done anything more than he's already done if he were to back out. He's had all the circuits out there saying, oh, Joe's on performance enhancing drugs. Oh, he's going to be on cocaine. And
checked up just Joe.
On purpose. I mean, what else other than actually not showing up? He has laid all that seed cord down for not showing up.
But he will be there tomorrow. Okay. This will be the most important political party of your lifetime. Most important political debate, perhaps, of your lifetime. Because I don't even know if there'll be any more debates. This could be a one and done. I know they signed up for a September 10th event, I believe. But.
You mean between Biden and Trump, or like in the history of America going forward? Because if Trump wins, then he'll be a dictator for a day, and that's all you need. There will be no debates. You do not debate the great leader.
I'm not clear, and you know, it seems strange to me that, you know, Trump's going to be a dictator for a day, but then he's going to give all the power back, right?
Yeah.
And Sean Hannity and the others. Oh, the lefties, they harangue Trump because he said dictator for a day. I'm thinking he said it to you, Hannity, but
well, now I've said it to him. Think about how he is. Hannity was leading Trump. He was, hey, you're not going to be a dictator, are you, sir? You would never do something like that.
Just on day one.
Right? I mean, Trump cannot even take the hand given to him by the sycophants at Fox News. He still must be Donald Trump. Well, I mean, I'll be a dictator. No, for a day. He can't, even when it's Hannity or any of the other anchors that allow him, that give him, hey, they lead him on the question. Here, Trump, you're not, I mean, he couldn't do that in court. Objection, Your Honor. Can't even do that. Trump doesn't even have the mentality to do that.
Because he's too truthful? Nah, I can hear Rich laughing in the booth right now through the wall. Apparently that inspired a reaction, but I've often said, Dom, here on the radio with you, the truth ultimately outs. Like if I got a burr under my saddle or something,
yeah,
it's coming out eventually. The truth
sooner or later, man,
will come out.
Good, come, bad, or indifferent.
Come back. Call us now or Crudy will be highly agitated. 844-967-2789.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open and going there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I see there's a coup underway in Bolivia. Now, if it's unsuccessful, I wonder if they'll find their own Merrick Garland to prosecute the coup undertakers like in 4 to 6 years. You know, maybe after they've undertaken another Bolivian coup. I'm just looking for parallels from our own history, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, one other quick note, and 844-967-2789. That is the political party line. You know who did win last night in her own primary? And it was a tough affair, apparently. Lauren Boebert, you know, Miss Beetlejuice.
Yeah, yeah.
She carpet-bagged her way into a new district, and then she won the primary, the Republican primary.
Hey, and but that primary had like 6-7 people in it, man. And she did not win over 50%, but she did win against all the others.
Well, and then she showed up in her party shoes last night, Dom. Her Trump party shoes. Let me read.
Does she have the sneakers? Does she have the gold sneakers?
Hold on. Rep Lauren Boebert, Republican from Colorado, celebrated her Republican primary win in full MAGA regalia, but she admitted her Trump sneakers were knockoffs when she spray painted a pair of Nikes in the driveway.
You knock off the knockoffs? What are you telling me?
The Colorado Republican knocked off 5 contenders for the state's 4th Congressional District GOP nomination, and the Donald Trump ally took the stage at her victory party Tuesday night wearing a white Make America Great Again hat with Trump's signature across the bill and a pair of gold sneakers that she said were dupes of the former president's limited edition shoes, reported Westward. These are very China, but I'm okay with that, Boebert said, laughing. If I could have bought the OGs, I would have. You could have. You're just too cheap. Now, Dom, the originals have already sold out, apparently, according to GetTrumpSneakers.com, and remain on pre-order status with an estimated shipping date sometime next month. You know, so if you want the real Trump sneakers and you don't want to have to gold spray paint some Nikes, a little bit more, Trump announced the launch of 1,000 custom limited edition Never Surrender high tops, which are reflective gold and feature American flag uppers with metallic stars on the back and a T in Boston leather at SneakerCon in February in Philadelphia. And you know who else is sporting the Trump sneakers today, Dom?
I do not. Lots
of stories of Trump sneakers. Apparently, the Stolen Valor, the newest Stolen Valor Republican, well, he's ditched the not earned green beret pen.
Oh, he took the pen off. Okay, gotcha.
And he showed up in Trump sneakers. Only I suspect the real kind? He just stole them from a guy?
I mean, maybe not.
The stolen Valor Republican ditches honorary pen and dons Trump gold sneakers instead. And a stogie in the photograph. He's got a stogie, dumb. House Republican accused of stolen valor for donning a Special Forces award he didn't earn has dropped the pen and picked up a pair of gold Trump sneakers instead. You know, when you are a complete and utter fraud and you want to show the world, get you some Trump sneakers.
Well, I wonder if he got the extra option to help soften the bone spurs. It might be an extra $100.
Rep. Troy Neals, Republican from Texas, explained to reporters he made the decision because you guys are vultures. What?
it's all your fault because you mocked me for stolen valor?
Now that I don't wear that, what are you going to talk to me about? Said Neals, who reportedly also wearing a tie of former President Donald Trump hugging the American flag. You guys are going to be bored out of your minds. Trump has repeatedly hugged and even kissed the American flag at conservative political action committee events, conference events, first in 2019. And as recently as this February, he's got a bit of a flag fetish.
Yep.
The former president's golden sneaker line dropped in February, Dom. The same month, a New York civil court judge found him liable for $464 million in fraud damages. Well, the sneakers, $399 a pair. That's too rich for Lauren Boebert's blood, apparently. The Never Surrender sneakers are now being offered at a 75% discount. And ties with pictures of Trump hugging the American flag retail at $37. Is that what true loyalty is worth to you, Congressman? $37 and some discount sneakers? Why, if the sneakers are now 75% off, couldn't Lauren Boebert have gotten herself some authentic Trump sneakers? Stolen her own valor.
She wanted them when she wanted them, man.
But she couldn't get them, so she got out a can of spray paint, did a little huffing, and then painted some Nikes. I mean, vaping. I forget. Huffing, vaping, you know, similar but slightly different. Damn, we got a fine guest joining us next. Former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh. He's a Chi-Town guy. And he ran for president against Donald Trump. Never Trumper. I wonder how he would be preparing for the debate. Maybe tussling with you. And the airwaves. Certainly not Twitter. You'd have to follow us for that. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Follow us on Twitter, @Devil Radio. If you don't, Dom gets sort of butthurt.